So sing along with me, and then we'll stand and sing it together tonight.
Wounded for me.
Song, but easy to do. Let's stand together. Page number 47 in your hymnal. Let's sing it on that first verse again tonight. Now, wounded for me.
Wounded for me.
Brother Brandon, how many of you enjoyed that song tonight? Amen. I tell you what, hallelujah. I'm glad he's coming back, and we know he's already come, and thank God he died for us, but I sure am glad that one day he's coming back real soon, and I sure appreciate all of you being here tonight in the service. I know that it's not New Year's Eve, it's New Year's Eve. Amen. So, see, we're just getting started with a watch night service earlier than everybody else. So we're setting the standard. So if we don't have a good service tonight, it may ruin everybody's service tomorrow night. So let's meet with the Lord tonight. We're glad to have all of you here. I know we've got several guests with us. We're glad you're here tonight and excited most of all that the Lord's invited. Good to have our teens and all the chaperones back from their retreat. And Brother James, good to see you in one piece. Amen. Your eyes are a little glazed over. Amen. Doesn't have quite the pep in his step this evening, but we're glad to see all of you tonight. So let's pray. We're going to turn it right over to the choir and going to enjoy two of our young preachers preaching tonight. I told him, I said, Brother Jose is going to heckle you while you preach. And I said, I'm hungry, so don't preach too long. So no pressure, though. So, but I appreciate all of you being here tonight. So let's pray together. Father, as we think about the song we just sang, we're so thankful that you died for us. And most of all, you're coming back for us. And I pray if there'd be one here tonight that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I pray, oh God, that you convict their heart show them their need of salvation tonight. We want to thank you for the good day you've given to us, the opportunity to come back and worship you. And we pray this evening that you'd get all the glory, all the honor. We pray for the choirs they sing and ask you, Lord, to touch them. And then as these two young men come to preach, I pray that you'd anoint them and give them the words to say, Father, that we're in most need of for this hour. And God, just give them strength and power to preach with power and authority and compassion tonight. And Lord, we understand that without you, nothing can get accomplished that needs to be accomplished. And so we ask you to meet with us. Lord, we come to you in one accord, just needing your help tonight. Lord, we all come with different burdens, and many have broken hearts tonight. I pray for them, and some are discouraged, and I want to pray for them as well and ask you, Lord, that you'd strengthen them. And Father, some just have walked away from you. There's some here tonight that aren't here tonight that should be. And I pray even in their absence, you'd convict them and show them their need to be in their place tonight. Lord, but we want to focus on you, not the negative. We want to focus on you and who you are and all you've done for us. And I pray that you'd meet with your people here tonight in this service. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You can be seated.
Amen. I'm glad it's not going to be long, Brother Mark, before I believe we're going to see our Redeemer. Amen. And I like this song that simply says, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Let's stand and sing it together on our monitors tonight. Christ our Redeemer.
Christ our Redeemer died on the cross, died for the sinner, paid all his debt. All who receive him need never fear, for I will pass over you.
As the choir comes down. As we get back to our seats, let's go into that second verse together now. Chiefest of sinners, Jesus will say.
Chiefest of sinners, Jesus will save. All he has promised that he will do. Washed in the fountain, open for sin. And I will pass over you. When I see the blood. Judgment is coming, all will be there, each one receiving justly his due, hide in the saving, sin-cleansing blood, and I will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass, I will pass over you.
Oh, the last verse, ushers, you come together tonight.
Oh, great compassion, oh, boundless love, oh, loving kindness, faithful and
and true. Find peace and shelter under the blood, and I will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Wonderful singer, remain standing.
Thank you, Brother Brandon. Good singing tonight. Appreciate the good choir singing. Amen. Wasn't that a blessing? I said, wasn't that a blessing? Amen. That's better. Hey, sometimes say, well, I want to be encouraged. We'll encourage someone else, and then you'll be encouraged. And so I appreciate all the good singing. I'm glad we're still singing about the blood. I know that's not popular today, but it's still true. And to come to Jesus Christ, you have to come through the blood of Christ. And He died for your sins and mine, shed His precious blood. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And so I'm glad it's not religion. It's a debt that's been paid for us. And we ought to rejoice. Amen. Now, I know it's a dreary day. I know it hadn't rained a whole lot. You know, it's getting dry out there and everybody's kind of, but you come in the house of God, if you're saved, you ought to be a little bit excited about the prospect of heaven. And this evening, it could be today. I don't know if it will or not, but I tell you what, if it is, Brother Mark, it's been a good life. And if it isn't, I'm going to keep living like it's been a good life until He comes, and then it's going to be a good life. Amen. And so we're going to receive the offering tonight, and then we'll do our penny march, and then we're going to let these young men preach. So you give and give liberally, and it's all right to be a liberal giver tonight. And we appreciate in advance what you give. So let's pray, and after we pray, you be seated. And then right after the offering, we'll do the penny march. Brother Gene Fowler, you pray for us, please.
Our Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we come with a thankful heart, God, you have to be in your house tonight.
Yes.
We thank you most of all, God, for that precious blood you shed on Calvary.
Amen.
God, one day that you saved our unwretched soul. Father, we pray now for the preaching of thy word. Bless the preaching. God, just anoint them from on high. Father, we pray, God, you will.
Yes.
And Holy Spirit, to walk these pews tonight, touch hearts and save souls here, God, tonight. We pray that you will. And Father, we'll praise you and thank you for everything you do. Save that soul near as hell tonight.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. Appreciate the good music tonight, and appreciate all these young people giving. Boy, that's a blessing. And I think that's the most entertaining part of the service. So sometimes they'll crash, and sometimes they'll tackle. And I told Brother Brandon, it probably took up about $11,000 tonight. It looked like they all came. But I appreciate all of you being here. Appreciate these two young men that God's called to preach. And you encourage them tonight. I remember the first time that I preached, my pastor had asked me, God called me to preach, and then it was just a couple weeks later, he said, well, you're preaching next Sunday night. And I was going, no. And I studied, and I had pages of notes. I had more pages than Encyclopedia Britannica. And, boy, I thought, I'm really going to let them have it tonight, and they're going to get it. It's going to, and, you know, my pastor would preach about 35, 40 minutes, and I had all those pages, and I had about 10 minutes worth. And, you know, then I look at my pages, and I forget where I was at, and then I'd throw something in there. And so, but you got to start. And I want you to encourage these young men, and I know they'll bless your heart. I love them. I appreciate both of them. Appreciate their zeal for the Lord. And most of all, I appreciate their zeal for souls. And I believe this. I see a lot of young preachers and have been to meetings, and they'll sit on the front row, and they'll recognize all the preachers, and they'll pop up, and they stick their chest out. You know, I'm so-and-so from so-and-so Baptist church. And well, where are you preaching at? Well, I'm waiting. And I'm thinking, what are you waiting on? You know, and how many tracts did you hand out this week? What do you mean? A man doesn't want to go win souls. He doesn't need to preach. Amen? And, you know, if it's just about standing behind the pulpit and delivering a message, a monkey can do that. But a man's got to have power on him, and he's got to have a burden for souls, and he's got to have a love for the things of God. And I believe these two young men do. They've exhibited that. And so you give me your attention. Did I say everything y'all wanted me to say? I lost my note card. I don't remember all I was supposed to say. But I know they'll bless your heart. So you help them tonight and smile at them and say amen once in a while. It'll be all right to say amen during the preaching and be an encouragement to them. So Brother Taylor, you come preach first. And he's going to preach about 15, 20 minutes, and Brother Matt's going to come and preach after that.
Amen. Tonight we're going to be in the book of Luke, chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. I'll give you all a minute to turn there. Funny that he was talking about being interested in souls tonight, because this scripture is a lot about the souls, and we're going to be touching on three different points tonight. And I'll let you get there real quick, and then we'll start reading. That was Luke 16, verse 19 through 31. And it's a very familiar scripture. I know Pastor preached on it a while back, and this is what the Lord laid on my heart to preach tonight. And it's going to be a few verses here. It says, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuous every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come in this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded through one rose from the dead. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be here tonight, God, that we can preach your word. I pray that, Lord, you'd be with us as we preach, God. Lord, just give me liberty to preach, Lord, what you would have me to say tonight, God. That, Lord, that if there be a lost soul here tonight, God, that they would hear the word preached, Lord, they'd be saved, realize that they're a sinner in need of a Savior, God. I thank you for this opportunity, God. Just be with us tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In opening this scripture, we see two different men die and what happens to them afterwards. Hebrews 9:27 says, And as it was appointed to men once to die, but after this it's a judgment. So the Bible tells us we're going to die and then be judged, and we'll be judged first what we did with Christ. If we accepted Him or rejected Him, if you accept Him like Lazarus, we'll be in heaven. But if you reject Him, you'll be like the rich man and spend eternity in hell. We're going to have 3 points here tonight. And the first one is the only way to heaven. And Pastor just read the scripture in John 14:6. A very familiar scripture says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the only way to heaven. There's so many different religions out here today. I know me and Brother Matt were talking before services, but just going by different churches, seeing, I wonder if they preach the Word of God there. But there's so many different religions that think that different things will get you into heaven. But the Word of God, that's contrary to the Word of God. It's only through the blood of Christ that we can get into heaven. Not being good, that's what's so sad. So many people that we talk to, they think that being good will get them to heaven. That the good works and church membership, none of that will get you into heaven. It's the blood of Christ that will get us in heaven. And many people, just like the rich man, think that having the money and all the nicest things in the world is good enough. But all these things are just temporal. They're going to burn up, and they're never going to get you to heaven. And Mark 10:25 says, It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And this isn't necessarily saying just because you have money you can't get into heaven. It's not that. It's just the example that money can't get us into heaven. It can't buy us in there. We can't trust in money to get us to heaven. Only through Christ we can. And I got this Christmas card. I thought it was appropriate to read that went along with this message. It's called, God Sent Us a Savior. It says, If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness, so God sent us a Savior. That sums it up right there, that we know that God sent Jesus to die for our sins and to save us from hell. And that's going to be our next point right there. I'm going to hit pretty hard on tonight, is the realization of hell. I think we overlook this a lot whenever we're... I know our pastor, he does preach on hell, but there are a lot of churches, unfortunately, that don't preach on hell. They just want to preach on the righteousness of God, which is perfectly fine, and His goodness. But we also have to realize what's going to happen to people who don't trust in Christ like we do. In verse 23, it says, In hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. So hell is a real place tonight. And people say, how could a loving God send anybody to hell? The answer is He doesn't. He gives us a choice. And Romans 6:23 tells us, For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He offers us a gift, and the gift is salvation. Brother Mark, if I give you a gift, you can either accept that or you can reject it. I can go around every person here tonight and offer you a gift. And same thing with salvation. If I offer it to you, or if God offers it to you, you can accept it or reject it. Same thing. It's your choice. And the same is with God. Of Jesus Christ. We can accept Him or reject Him, but if we reject Him, our punishment would be in hell. And God doesn't want us to perish to go along with that. In 2 Peter 3:9, it tells us He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants us all to be saved. He doesn't want anybody going to hell. Think about hell. It wasn't meant for us. It was meant for Satan and his army of fallen angels. And we're going to look on a little bit of kind of what hell is like. And 2 Thessalonians 1:9 says, Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power? Think about that separation in hell from God for eternity. I just can't imagine being away from God for that long. I know when we get backslidden, think about that, just how bad that makes you feel when you're lonely. But when God comes up, see, in hell, that's not a second chance. Once you're there, you're there. And I just can't imagine the loneliness and sadness and just the emotional destruction that would be there. And that's just a part of hell. You know, that's just emotional part. But in verse 23, once again, and in hell, he lift up his eyes being in torment. In Matthew 13:42 and 50, it both says, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Think about whenever you get too close to a fire, just how bad that burns. And you can pull away from that. But in hell, there's no getting away from that. Once that flame, when you're in the flame, you're going to be tortured in that flame for eternity. Just think about the pain of the burning, the smell of the burning, just how bad that is, and you can never get away from it. It's just so sad. There'll be wailing, and wailing is all obviously people screaming. And can you imagine just the screams of the torture that people are going through? I think about like firefighters when they hear a woman screaming in a burning building for her children. Just think about that scream, and you can never get away from it. There's going to be people wailing in hell, just screaming and torture, gnashing of teeth, which means the grinding or striking teeth together in anger, rage, or pain. People in hell are going to be grinding their teeth in pain and anger because obviously they're going to be in pain. I'm sure they're going to be angry. Pay attention, church, please. I'm sure they're going to be angry at the people who could have witnessed to them, tried harder to get them to come to church, telling people at work about Jesus instead of telling jokes. They will be angry because they know that they'll be there for eternity and there's no way out. Because they're going to be separated from God for that eternity. And they're going to be thinking about a lot of different things. Well, I wish they had witnessed to me more. I wish they had told me about Jesus. There's going to be so many things they're going to be thinking about, and they're going to be angry on top of all this pain. And Lord gave this example to me. I know it can't really put into words how hell is, but it kind of helps me realize how bad it is. Think about this. I used to run cross country, and being hot, and like I never ran a marathon, but I ran 5K, so it doesn't matter what shape you're in. If you're running a marathon, just imagine with me, if you're running a marathon in the middle of summer, 100 degrees, sun beating down on you, and you're just sweating hot as can be, and you just keep on running and running, you just feel like you're going to die, pass out. And you, at this point, you're just so tired, you'd do anything for some water. Just anything. Now imagine if they just kept moving the finish line. Just kept moving it and moving it. You never finished. You just kept on running and running and running. And it never ended. And you just wish that you could have that little bit of water. Here in verse 24, we see that this is where the rich man asked for just a little dip of water, but he'll never be able to get it. It says, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in the water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And there's going to be no way to cool that torment of flame. And I thought about this as well, too. Think about this. This was Jesus saying this. So that man has been in hell for 2,000 years at least. Think about that. At 2,000 years in hell, about how bad that would be. And that sounds like a lot. For our human minds, 2,000 years sounds, that'd be a long time for us. Think about eternity. 2,000 years is nothing compared to eternity. And they're going to be there forever. And there's going to be... And think about Lazarus, though. He's been in heaven for 2,000 years. Think about the peace and rest there. But there'll be no rest in hell. Revelation 14:11 tells us, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest, day nor night. Think about when you have a long day at work, and you have to come home, and there's this big old list of stuff you have to do. Mow the yard, take the trash, wash dishes, everything. You're tired, you don't want to do it, but you got to do it anyway. You just keep on. Imagine how tired you get. But you got to think, we still have that rest that we can come to. We can go to bed at night. Jesus and God gives us that rest, that peace. But think about it. It says in hell, there's neither rest nor day nor night. And the Bible tells us in hell, they will not have rest. Point number three, and it's kind of short here, but what are we doing to keep people out of hell? Good. Knowing the realization of hell should motivate us to tell everyone we know about Jesus and how we can save them. Once again, going back to telling coworkers and just anybody that we see at Walmart, we should be telling everybody. We should have that fire, knowing what God saved us from. We got to remember what God saved us from. Yes, He saved us from our sins, but think about those who aren't saved, that don't know Jesus, that He saved us from hell. We gotta remember that when we're going out passing out tracts. When I know I'm guilty of it, I say, I don't know if I want to go over there. I think this scripture should come to mind every time we think about it, as hell is a real place. It is tormented. And no one here, knowing what hell is like, would ever want anybody going there. Never. I don't even want my worst enemy going to hell. And especially, think about family members and friends. When's the last time we witnessed to a family member or friend? I'm guilty. I'll say that. And I think it's a lot easier to go to Walmart and hand out tracts. I enjoy doing that. But when it comes to friends and family, I know it's a little harder. But we got to remember the realization of hell here, that it is a real place. People are getting sent there every day, just dropping off to it. Probably here tonight, while we're standing here preaching, people are dropping off into hell. And we see in verse 27 and 28, then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And think about this, that it's too late for him to tell his family member about hell, because he's already there. Think about this, church. Don't wait too long to tell your family members. Because if they passed away tonight, where would they go? Think about it. If we know where we're going, shouldn't we know where our family and friends are going? Think about the reality of hell and the penalty of not accepting Christ as our Savior. In closing, we see the realization of hell and how it is a real place. And many people spend eternity there. But we also learn that there is a way, the only way to avoid this and to go to heaven, and that is accepting Christ as your Savior. I hope this message is encouragement to reach those who are lost. Or if you're here and have never accepted Christ, that you see the consequences of not accepting Him. I also hope that you will pray for your loved ones who are lost and talk to them about your loving God who wants to save them.
Good, wasn't it? I tell you what, that's bold. First message you preach on hell. And I tell you what, that's the direction that the ministry, his ministry goes. I say hallelujah, praise God. And I appreciate that. Boy, it challenged me. I hope it challenged you. And if you're here tonight, you've never received Christ as your Savior, the place he said, hell, is going to be your eternal home. But I'm glad that, as he mentioned, the story doesn't end with that. Jesus is the only way. And I appreciate what he said about God doesn't send you to hell. He's done everything to keep you out. And if you go, or your loved ones go, it's a choice. It's a decision that they make. And, you know, in this society of pop culture, nobody's responsible for anything. I mean, boy, your kids can act like wild animals and it's somebody else's fault. And, you know, you got 50-year-old men that have never grown up and it's because their mother didn't love them. And, you know, everything's somebody else's fault. But I promise you this, when you stand before a holy God, He'll know everything about you. There'll be nobody to blame but ourselves. God did everything possible to keep us out of that place called hell. And for someone to go, it's their choice, the choice they make. But I'm glad He said, I am the way. And this evening, if you don't know Him as your personal Savior, I'm glad you can. He's available. He's available to you tonight. So I appreciate the message, Brother Taylor. That was good. Brother Matt, you come and preach tonight, and I appreciate this young man as well. And I wish I had the zeal and wisdom that these two young men have at their age. And church, we need to encourage them, and we need to pray for them, and we need to love them, and we need to just encourage them to do right and not be critical of them, but help them. They're going to make some mistakes. And just like you do, just like I do, and it takes some grace because what happens, a lot of young preachers get ruined because they're not given an opportunity to make some mistakes. And I promise you they will. And I'll make a few. Amen. I've made a few over 13 years. Probably make a few more over the next 13 if Jesus doesn't come back. And before you get all holy, we'll knock your halo off and say you probably made a few yourself. Amen. So you help them tonight. And Brother Matt, you come preach for us.
Thank you, Pastor. Certainly, as always, thankful to have an opportunity to preach and thankful for a pastor who gives opportunities to preach. I know there's a lot of young men our age that don't get the chance for whatever reason. A lot of young preachers our age don't get opportunity to tell about what God's done for us or preach about heaven or hell and about the salvation through Jesus Christ. But I'm thankful for our pastor and Brother Brandon for personally helping me. I know they've helped Brother Taylor. So just, Pastor, thank you and thank God for what He's done, for that saving grace that He gives us and He offers to everybody. He doesn't exclude nobody, and I'm thankful for that, that He opens the door for everybody, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's a promise that's in the Word of God, and God always honors His Word and always honors His promises. If you would, just flip a few pages to the book of Luke, chapter 22. Book of Luke, chapter number 22. We'll begin reading in verse number 39. The Bible says, "And he came out and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Let us pray. Father, we come before you this evening, Lord, thankful for the opportunity to preach your word, thankful for the word of God that's already been preached about the reality of hell, that it is a real place, physically, emotionally, spiritually. But God, to realize that you've done everything you could possibly do to see to it that we don't have to go there. God, you offered that sacrifice, that perfect sacrifice through your Son. And Lord, I pray if there'll be a lost soul in this service, God, they see that need of salvation, that they see the blood of Christ, that it can forgive them of their sins. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd use me tonight to preach your word, to stand behind this pulpit, this sacred desk. God, control my tongue, control my lips. Give me those words your people need to hear tonight. Lord, I give you the praise and honor and the glory for everything that's done, and ask it all to be done in the greatest name that's above all names, Jesus. Amen. As we read here, just a simple message tonight talking about the character of Christ. And this is probably, of all the accounts of Christ, this is one of my favorites, one of my all-time favorites. I think it shows Christ in his deepest state, his deepest need, right before he went to the cross, when he's praying with such intensity. And I think he gives us many, many, many lessons here in the Scripture. But first, I want you to see in verse number 41, something we could all take note here. He withdrew himself. We must follow Christ and do the same. I know as a preacher, as a man of God, and even as a Christian, the disciple of Christ, sometimes we have to separate ourselves and get alone with God. It's absolutely essential, because we're dealing with this world, dealing with people in our everyday life, sometimes we have to separate ourselves. Not because they're bad influences or these people can hurt us. Sometimes we just have to get along with God. We have to get that direction, wash away the stain of the world and get along with God and get that direction that we need. Get that comfort, that encouragement that we need that's going to keep us going that extra day, that extra mile, pressing on. That's what we need today, folks. It's not this help. We don't need devotionals. We don't need the doctor or so-and-so. We need Jesus Christ. We need that personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what's going to get us through. That's what's going to see souls saved. That is what is going to take us into eternity, is the Lord Jesus Christ. We must withdraw ourselves and get alone with God. But first, point number one, I want you to see His honesty. In verse number 42, we see Christ says, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me." He showed honesty before God, just as we should do the same. Christ asked God, if you'd be willing, please remove this cup from me. We see the honesty before God. Why was he so honest? Because of the sin. He seen it. He knew what was to come. He seen the reality of it. And he was honest before God. Just think about that powerful. Honestly, it had to have scared him. Because remember, Christ knew no sin. He was perfect, sinlessly perfect. Just the thought of the mountain of sin that had accumulated. And that was to accumulate. We see this. We see his honesty before God. We should be the same. God already knows us before we... He already knows what's wrong with us before we even come to him. But oftentimes what we try to do, we try to sew those fig leaves together, just like Adam and Eve. We try to hide our sin from God, but it never works. He knows every hair on our head. Each and every one of them is numbered. We should be honest before God. We should go to God with that honesty. Just like that day we got saved, we had to be honest with God and say, God, forgive me. I'm a sinner. God, I'm born into sin. There's nothing I could do. God, take me and save me. Forgive me. Wash me in your blood. We should be honest before God. And if you're lost here this evening, you can be honest before God tonight. See yourself as a sinner born into sin. And that takes us to our next point. Humility. We see Christ's humility. Look here in verse number 42. We see also, he says, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Isn't that something? First he says, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. But he doesn't stop there. Hallelujah, he doesn't stop there. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Jesus, the King of kings and Lord of lords, creator of all things, did not take matters into his own hands, but he was submitted and committed to God. Think about that. He could have done whatever he wanted, and God would have been like, yeah, okay, I'm fine with that, because he's Jesus. He could have done whatever he wanted, but he knew the plan. God had given him a plan. There was a reason he was sent to this earth, because of the love of God. That's why. He was supposed to die for our sins, sins that we couldn't do nothing about. He loved us so much, God sent his only begotten Son to die for us. Jesus knew that. Jesus was not backing down from that. He was committed to it, and he lived that sinlessly perfect life. He offered himself as that perfect sacrifice. And notice two things out of verse number 43. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And we see this. The King and Creator of the universe received an angel to strengthen him. Now, when I read this, I found that very profound. Something easy to skip over, something easy to miss, but think about that. Jesus Christ here, this ain't a disciple, you know, this isn't John the Baptist, this is Jesus Christ here. The Bible says, an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. He needed help because of the weight of the sin. We see this, our King and Creator of the universe, receive this angel. What a humbling moment for the one who's second to no one. He's second to nothing. He could do anything he wanted to do. But it was the sin. The weight of the sin was already bearing down upon him. He already seen it. And he needed help. Hebrews 2:9 says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. And he did exactly that. We see the Word of God backing itself up here. Right here in the book of Luke, over to the book of Hebrews, we see Jesus Christ being made a little bit lower than the angels. The fact that the angel himself had to come and help him. Think about that. This shows us the magnitude of the sin load that he was to bear for us. Even he needed help, just like we need help. That's why we should withdraw ourselves to seek God. Whether it's a sin problem, whether it's a trial, troubles, whatever it may be, we have to withdraw ourselves and be honest before God and humble ourselves before God if we want to see help. And lastly, I want you to see his holiness. In verse number 44, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. He was focused on what God the Father wanted him to do, not on his outside circumstances. Think about that. It wouldn't be too much longer here than the soldiers and Judas Iscariot was coming to get him. He knew that. He knew it was coming. Was he worried about that? No. He was doing business with God. He was not focused on everything around him. He knew what God's will was for his life, and he was about seeking that, just as we should be the same. He was focused on God in that moment of prayer. We should follow his example and be the same. Can we say the same? Ask yourself, can you say the same question? Are you focused on outside circumstances, or are you focused on the Lord? Think about that. James 5:16 says us this: confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Christ was that prayed effectually and fervently with intense heat. We see that. He was in great agony so much that he sweat great drops of blood. Using the example Brother Taylor gave about running a marathon. Of course you're going to sweat, but imagine sweating great drops of blood. The intensity and the way he prayed shows his love for us. He shed his blood for us before he went to the cross. Think about that. Think about the magnitude of that. Remember, he commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, he still died for us, knowing that sin to come. He still came and died for us. How about that? Think about the holiness of that. God has a calling for us. He asks us to be holy. We see this in Leviticus 11:45, "For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy." 1 Peter 1:16, "Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." I think God's earned the right. And I think we owe to God to dedicate ourselves to Him. We should be submitted and committed to Him in our lives. He has given everything He could possibly give for us. We owe Him absolutely everything. We see this. You know, Brother Mark mentioned the other week, and it stuck with me. Whenever we should pray for the needs of others. If we're praying for the needs of others, if we're focusing on everybody else, let God take care of us. God will meet our needs. If we're putting our attention and our efforts on somebody else, God will meet our needs. That's just stuck with me ever since I heard it. And it's the same. You see what Christ was doing. He's putting the needs of others before Himself. He gives us that example. We should follow Christ. He did it the right way. We should want to go the right way and choose Christ. So we see His honesty before God. We see His humility before God, and we see His holiness exhibited in that He was sweating great drops of blood. He prayed earnestly before God. He never gave up on us. Steps 1 and 2 will lead you to holiness. And number 3, you humble yourself before God. You be honest before God. It won't be long you'll be holy before God. And that's where we all want to be. That's where we should all be seeking and striving to, is seeking the Lord. Remember, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be unto you. He will take care of us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Christ is there for us. For those lost and saved here in the service tonight, God is available to you. Pastor, go ahead.
Amen. That was good, wasn't it? See, the good thing about tonight is the message has kind of hit everybody. If you're here and you've never trusted Christ, you've heard what your ultimate demise will be. You've heard that God doesn't want you to go to hell. He's done everything to keep you out of hell. And we look and say, well, amen, praise the Lord, but I'm already saved. Well, now we hear that we're to be in God's will. He gave us the 3 steps to revival, really. The honesty, humility, and holiness. And all year, we've preached on revival. You've seen the same thing. Honesty, humility leads to holiness, leads to revival. And, boy, I appreciate the good messages tonight. And I want you to stand with me. We're going to have our musicians come as they come. And I want you to stand with me, bow your head. No one's looking around. And if God spoke to your heart tonight in any way, any manner, I want to invite you to come. And as Brother Matt mentioned tonight, maybe you're in a place in your life, you know you're not in the will of God. And God's got a perfect plan for your life tonight. You look and say, well, I'm not out in gross immoral sin. It still doesn't mean you're in the will of God. He explained that, Brother Taylor explained that it's not God's will for any to perish, but that all should come to repentance. If you're here tonight, never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, we'd like to take the Bible, show you how you can know that you're on your way to heaven tonight. Greatest decision you'll ever make is trusting Christ. It's not who you'll marry. It's not your occupation. It's not where you'll go to college. It is trusting Christ. Whatever God has spoke to your heart about tonight, I invite you to come. Some are around the altar praying. Some are praying at their seats tonight. We've been challenged, church. If
As we come up on 2016, you know, every second there's somebody dropping off in the hill. Every second, while we've been here, almost an hour. Think about it. How many of your friends and family members you wish you could get back just so you can say one time that Jesus loves you? And tonight, as we go into 2016, one of your goals is that you be a better soul winner. That you be more burdened about sinners. I'll tell you how you do it. You get the reality of hell. I've heard men say, drive around and pray. And I think you should do that. But if you don't ever get the reality of what hell's all about, you'll never get a burden for lost people. And I think, unfortunately, in the church, we've gotten to the place where we don't want to hear about it anymore. I want to hear about how awful that place of hell is. I'm not going, preacher. Good. But maybe you've got a child that is. Maybe you've got a mom or a dad, an uncle, grandma, grandpa, somebody you know, co-worker. Would you come pray for them tonight? What could the church do if every member had the reality of hell? Brother Matt mentioned this. Is it too much for God to ask of us to follow through with what He's called us to do? He's paid it all. He asks very little of us in return. Will you come?